Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday morning can be found in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, and it will be the entirety of that chapter. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And we read in the name of our Lord. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the same similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you have justified us. You have sanctified us. And Father, we ask that we would be now sanctified by your word. Allow us to hear your word, Father, and be shaped by it. Do all of this for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 5 is considered the crux of Romans. It's considered by many to be the most salient point of all of the book of Romans. Because Paul gets right to the meat of it. That there was death by sin. And that there was grace by Jesus Christ. And yet we struggle with that concept because when we think of Lent, we don't think of grace. We actually quite often think about sin. What sin we're going to stop. We make it about us. We start thinking about the thing that we have to do to overcome something. And in fact, the entire message of Lent is lost, because Lent is supposed to be a time of devotion, not to us, but to the one who saved us. But if you start thinking about what you're going to give up for 40 days, you're not thinking about the one that saved us. You start thinking about yourself. Well, I'm giving up chocolate now for Jesus. And that's going to do something. Now, I don't have chocolate for 40 days, and that's really going to help. Help who? The reality is, it just turns us more inward. But we need to turn outward. We need to turn to the outside and not be taken by our empty thoughts and desires. We need to be brought into something better than what is giving up chocolate. We need to start to be turned to the outside world, to be caring for those people, because the free gift is not just to those who come to the church. It says right here, it's for all men. And yet quite often, we forget that. We think it's for those who do the right things. We think it's for those who live the right way. We think it's for people who are nice to us. But the free gift is for all men. And that's what the nature of the tribulation is at the beginning of this chapter. That we rejoice not just in the good things, but we rejoice in the bad things. That we can suffer to bring someone in. That we can suffer to care for someone. So that means that we're going to help people who are mean to us, who are downright terrible to us, and we're going to rejoice in that. But quite often we get the different reaction. We ask God to rain some fire down on them, thinking that's a good thing. And in fact, a couple of Jesus' followers thought this very same thing. When they went to a Samaritan village and they were not received, they said, couldn't you bring some fire from heaven to destroy them? And Jesus said, you don't even know why I'm here. You don't even know what my purpose is. It's not to destroy people, it's to save them. And yet quite often we wish destruction. Now we might have many good reasons to wish for that. Maybe they hate us. Maybe they seek to destroy us. Maybe they curse our name. But that's what Jesus faced. Because the 40 days of Lent, they're the 40 days to the cross. And during that time, he faced hate. He faced ridicule. He faced death. And he didn't pray, send some fire. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He taught that you pray for your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And yet Christians quite often lack in that. There's a Christian church that goes around to soldiers' funerals protesting their deaths because there's gay marriage in America, thinking it's God's work for them to sit there and go, your son went to hell because there's gay marriage in America, thinking that's what God wants. When God's own son prayed, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And yet, we as God's followers, the children of God, we think that's a good thing to threaten hellfire to people? No. We think that's a good thing to threaten death? No. How many times have we heard God hates gays? No. Because the free gift is for all men. How many times have we been encouraged to stand up and fight against those who don't believe? How many times have we been encouraged that we need to wage a war against Islam, thinking that this is what we're supposed to do? We're going to fight, but it's not going to be with methods of war. We're going to fight with love. We're going to fight with grace, because that's what we're armed with. Because when we were yet without strength, God saved us. When we were still sinners, God brought us to life. And that means He did it for the rest of the world too. They might not know about it, but how are they supposed to know if we are going to be showing them a God of wrath? Because then they just see the same old thing that the world always produces. That you do something wrong and something bad happens. But the gift of Christ isn't like that. It says, where there was offense, grace abounded even more. So that's what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be ones who sing the rallying cry of sin. Because I hate to break it to you, if you're that, sin has power over you. It's no longer grace. It's sin. If all your thought is on sin, then that is your master. If all your thought is about counting the sins of not only yourself but the world, then you no longer have a master in Christ. Your master is nothing but sin. You're serving sin. You're trying to find the way out. You're trying to make sure that the line is not crossed and you can make it. And then sin owns you. And you no longer have any need for Christ. Because you have it all in sin. And that's what it is to trample the blood of Christ underfoot. Because He said right here, if we have been washed by His blood, we've been washed by His blood. That means we're clean. But we keep trying to tell God, we're still dirty. We need to do something about that. We need to count our sins. We need to do a devotion on Lent about our sins. No. God forbid. What we need to do is we need to start living like we're free from sin. Because we are. Our devotion for Lent shouldn't be 40 days of us giving up something. It should be 40 days of us speaking to the world, of caring for its needs, of trying to find people who are in low places, who are in suffering, and caring for them. Because when we were weak, when we had nothing, when we were without strength, God came to us. And so that means that we who are empowered by the Spirit, we who have the power of God within us, who can care for people who need to be cared for, that means that it is our responsibility to do so. It means that we find people no matter where they are, and we just love them. And that means sinners. That means that we go to people who might not fit in here. And we care for them. And we don't do it selfishly. We don't do it, well, care for you, you come to our church. We just care for them. Jesus told us, pray for those who hate you. And how often do we actually do that? Our prayer, if we do, is usually, I pray that they stop being mean to me. He says, bless those who curse you. And the best we can get is, I hope they figure out that they're wrong. We should be praying that they would live wonderful lives. We should pray that a person who scorns us, who absolutely hates us for being Christian, that they would have wonderful lives, that they would be blessed abundantly, that they would have happy families, that they would have good jobs, that they would be fulfilled, that they would have wonderful lives. But it's so hard to do that. Because the devotion of Lent is not to Jesus Christ. It's to us. Look what I'm giving up now, Jesus. You gave up your life, but man, I'm going 40 days again without chocolate. That's really hard. And sure, on Fat Tuesday, I pigged out. I did that, but 40 days without chocolate, it's still pretty good. No. 40 days of Lent are giving up ourselves. It's not giving up something superficial. It's giving up ourselves to actually follow that journey of Jesus, meaning that we go and we just care for the people. That means we go to sinners, we go to tax collectors, we go to prostitutes, because that's what Jesus did. We go to people who are counted as drunkards. We go to people who are counted as untouchable. And we care for them. Jesus got himself so religiously dirty doing his ministry. And we'd be afraid to step foot in a bar quite often if it meant helping someone. Jesus went to lepers and he would have been counted as unfit for any service of God. He touched prostitutes. He hung out with tax collectors who were just scumbags. They were the worst of the worst. These were people who betrayed their own people to make a buck. And he went to them. And you know who had a problem with it? It was the religious people. It was God's people. Because they had no use for the law to help someone. It was all about them. Look at that Jesus. He's getting unclean. What an idiot. Doesn't he know who he's hanging out with? Doesn't he know he's hanging out with Samaritans? Doesn't he know who he's hanging out with? He's getting unclean. Yet we do the same thing. And that's why we give up ourselves for this Lent. We don't give up some superficial nonsense item. We give up ourselves. We get unclean. We get dirty to help people. Because the free gift is for everyone. Not just those in this building. Because this isn't God's house here. The whole world is God's house. And all of those people out there who are unclean, those are God's people. And it doesn't matter who they are. They're still God's. It doesn't matter the depth of the sin. Because the love of God poured out through Jesus Christ is much greater than the sin. The power of sin that entered into the world through Adam, that had power of death. But that was from man. That was from one man that entered into the world. But the power of God for righteousness came from God Himself. And that is much greater than the power of sin. The power of righteousness far surpasses the power of sin, of any sin. And we need to remember that. The power of righteousness is far greater than the power of the dirtiness of the world. The power of righteousness from God is far greater than our own insecurities and fears. It's far greater than our own worries about what's going to happen to us. It's far greater than all of that because it's going to bring us through the other side. We might look dirty, we might look like sinners for it, but that is what it is to give up ourselves for Lent. We're ready to be counted as a sinner. We're ready to be counted as nothing if it will save people. So this Lent, give up yourself. And instead, turn to the one who saved you. Give up the law. It's already been fulfilled for you. Give up counting your sins. They're not there anymore. Give up worrying about what it's going to look like if you go and help someone who's gay, who's Muslim, who's an atheist, who's a pedophile. Give up all of that stuff. Because the nature of grace is it exceeds that. It exceeds all the power of that sin. And it can wash them clean too. So this Lent is a time to care for those who aren't worthy to be cared for. Because they are. Because of this free gift. So do all of those things for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the free gift. That Father, even though we were unclean, you bathed us. And that, Father, even though we were your enemy, and we even asked for the death of your Son, you saved us. And that even though we had hardness of heart and were set for destruction, you brought us to life. So, Father, recognizing that about us, we ask that we would have the same grace as you towards the world. That we would cover its sin. Father, we would recognize that your Son already made that clean. And that in doing so, we would save the world. That we would save the world not only for eternal salvation, but Father, even for a temporal one. That we would care for our neighbor. That we would love those who are hurting. And we wouldn't ask if they're worthy, because, Father, you have made them worthy. So, Father, above all else, we do ask that your will would be done. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.